Jesus was smitten of God, his Father, on the cross. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Heavenly Father, we pray for your divine help with this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dear ones, today we want to travel with our Lord Jesus Christ into the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus fought his final battle before he went to the cross. Let's have the story from the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter. I quote, "And he says unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and says unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again. Neither did they know what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and he says unto them, Sleep now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand." I want to give you a little prelude to this passage so you have a deeper appreciation of what is going on here. This incident in the Garden of Gethsemane occurred in the middle of the night on early Friday morning, or it could have been around midnight. In the Jewish tradition, the day begins with sunset. So on Thursday, the Jews prepared the Passover. Then, after sunset, it was Friday for the Jews. And so their first activity on Good Friday, on the Passover day, was this supper. That's the beginning of Friday. So the first meal of the day for us is breakfast. The first meal of the day for the Jews is supper. So at this supper, which was prepared the traditional way to commemorate the Exodus, Israel leaving Egypt under the protection of the blood of the Lamb that was placed on the doorposts of their homes, that evening Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, a Holy Communion, doing away with the old Passover. Because all the old Passovers that had been offered for 1,500 years were all pointing to Jesus, the Lamb of God, the final Passover, the final sacrifice of God the Father for us to purchase the forgiveness of our sins. At the end of this institution of Holy Communion, there, it says in verse 26, "And when they had sung in hymn, they went into the Mount of Olives." And that, my friend, that verse gets my attention. It says they had sung an hymn. Now, traditionally, the hymn they sang at this occasion was from passages from Psalm 115 to Psalm 118. I want you to know, I believe at this time it's quite possible that Jesus initiated the singing of another hymn. And I say this because the text says, "And when they had sung an hymn," not the hymn, but an hymn, "they went out unto the Mount of Olives." Matthew also concurs by writing they sang an hymn. And Matthew is very accurate. Remember, he was a tax collector. You have to remember that on this night of the Lord's Supper, that Jesus went totally untraditional. All this institution of the supper, this Holy Eucharist, it was totally, absolutely untraditional for him to say to his disciples, giving them bread, this is my body which is broken for you, and giving them of the wine and saying, this is my blood of the new covenant. So I think he went untraditional in all that happened that night. But what gets my attention here is that Jesus sang an hymn, knowing all that was going to happen in the next 24 hours. And what was going to happen, my friends? Well, the disciples would all forsake him. He knew that. Peter would deny him 3 times. He knew that ahead of time. Judas would betray him. He knew that ahead of time. Then he would be tried by the Jews in the Roman court. He would be beaten, he would be spat upon, and finally he would be nailed to a rugged cross, alive, to die. Despite him knowing all this was going to happen, Jesus sang an hymn. They all joined him. Hallelujah. Oh, my friend, when is your song falling apart on you? Is your song falling apart when your wife says, or your husband says, I want a divorce from you? Is your song falling apart when you lose your job? Is your song falling apart, my friend, when somebody makes a derogatory remark about you? Are you able to keep your song knowing that all kinds of evil is coming your way? Oh, I'm impressed by this little passage. And when supper was over, they sang an hymn and went to the Mount of Olives. It seems it was not a sad hymn, but a happy hymn. Oh, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus faced the darkness of a great satanic attack. This time, the place, the Mount of Olives, where he went to pray so many times, became probably the fiercest battleground of all times ever for a man of God. Look at verse 34. It says, Jesus speaking, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tear ye here and watch. This tells me that Jesus was about to die from sorrow. It says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. That means short of a miracle, Jesus would have died before he reached the cross. Jesus would die before he would take your and my sins upon himself on the cross. Because, my friend, of the sorrow he had in the garden, his blood would have not been spilled as a love sacrifice for your sins. For without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no remission of sins. He had to make it to the cross. So Jesus had succeeded in every aspect of his mission up to this point. So far he had completed the work God gave him to do. He had trained the disciples. He had fulfilled all the law. He preached the new kingdom of God, the new order. He had fulfilled all types of prophecies. He had revealed the divine character of God. He had exhibited the perfect type of manhood. And now there was no more public teaching ahead of him. All that was left was pure endurance of the agony ahead. There were no more distractions. All his sufferings were plainly laid before him. And here, on the night before the crucifixion, he was about to die without having made it to the cross. So our text says, and he says unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tear ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground. Here we see Jesus in the most helpless hour of his life so far, about to die outside of the gate of victory. He fell. It doesn't say he knelt down. No, it says he fell on the ground. That is, he lost control of his physical faculties. He, the Son of God, became utterly helpless. Now then, what caused this distress? Quickly, this was the grief of his whole life, to be counted among the sinners. He was suffering for sinners, and because of the holiness of God of Christ, the tasting of sins, even though it was the sins of others, became unbearable to him. And so this produced an extraordinary violence and at the same time weakness in his soul. Another reason for suffering was that it was the hour of his enemies. Satan, hell, now put forth all its powers to crush him before he could reach the cross. And then, of course, on the cross, again, there was this great agony, because he said, O God, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me, this loneliness and this difficult time? We're thankful to Jesus that no martyr ever since that time has to say, I'm dying lonely. They all have Jesus with them in their death. So that was the condition of the soul of our Lord Jesus Christ in the garden, and then, of course, on the cross. It was a desperate situation. Now, quickly, what can we learn from this passage? We are impressed by the fact that our salvation, my friend, was not easy work. It was easier by far for God to create the universe by his word than to extricate the human race from Satan's dominion. It required the Son of God emptying himself, laying aside his garment of light to take the form of a servant, humbling himself, submitting to humiliation, opening himself to the most extreme physical, emotional, and spiritual agony to purchase our redemption. We learn from this also, this incident in the garden and on the cross, that Jesus had a will. He cried, not my will, but thy will be done. But he bowed his humble will to the will of his Father. We learn from this also the importance of prayer. What pulled Jesus through this difficult time was that he prayed and prayed and prayed until his sweat became as drops of blood falling to the ground. Yet furthermore, we learn from this the complete faith of the Son of God in his Father by believing that God's will, even though it would kill him, would be the best to give glory to God, as it would bring sinners into a right relationship with his Father. And so we have the prophecy on the way to fulfillment here in this passage, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53:4, which answers to the question often asked, who killed Jesus? Was it the Romans? No. Was it the Jews? No. Was it you and me? No. Was it all of us? No. Look at your Bible and find out who really killed Jesus on the cross, and that is found in Isaiah 53, verse 4. It says, quote, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. God killed his Son, Jesus, to purchase your and my salvation. Jesus was God's Lamb, his love sacrifice for our salvation. God smote him for our sake. He did it in love, and he did it so that he could acquire a bride for his Son, whom he wanted to get married, hallelujah, to a precious, holy people of God. Oh, my friend, this is what God did for you and for me. He wants us to get into a bridal relationship with our Savior, to live with him forever and ever. And then finally, my friend, look at the kindness of our Lord. Even in this, his severe suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples fell asleep, and Jesus, in the midst of his agony, instead of rebuking them, when it's all said and done, he said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. It's over with. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. I trust you will commit yourself to him entirely and appreciate the cost it took to save you more than ever in your life. Thank you for listening to this message. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time, the same station. Goodbye now, until then.